Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children. And by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education today.
Welcome, I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and with me here today is Dr. Rose Gamblin. And we are going to talk today about an interesting subject for all parents who are faced with the choice of where to put their children to school. And many parents have the need to put their children in public school. They simply cannot afford private school, and the means are not there for them to do it.
Yes, and sometimes there's no private schools to be had.
Yes, sometimes the only choice that is available to you is public school. And I'd like to preface our conversation here by saying that the quality of education in most of the public schools is really good. The child is going to learn in that school. There's going to be things that they are going to get that they're going to be able to carry on as lifelong lessons in that school. It's going to be a reasonably good experience for them if, as parents, you stay engaged with your child. So as we talk about this, let's begin a little bit with, I'm going to go into a little bit. I went to public school. I went to public school in high school, and my school had 2,000 kids in it, which was a huge change from where I'd come from. And I survived. And it was an enjoyable experience for the most part. It was very easy to get lost, I found. And there were a lot of different things that came up that could be temptations or not knowing how to navigate or not knowing what I should do next, not knowing exactly where to turn. As a parent, how would you start by helping your child in a public school setting?
Well, first of all, I would have a frank conversation with my child saying, you know, this isn't an ideal situation. You're going to have some challenges, but I want you to know that God has directed your paths. And so if you're going into that school, He has a plan for you there. It reminds me of a statement from Billy Graham, who said that he wished every child that was going into public school went in with the idea of being a missionary, because nobody else can preach the gospel as well as a child. In public school, the adults are pretty much gagged. They have gag orders when it comes to religion. They can walk it, but a child can not only walk it, but they can talk it. And with that being said, there's some things they need to be careful about.
Yes, I was just thinking about that. Let's address it really quickly here. If you look at what's going on in the society today, particularly in North America, there is a growing gulf between Christians and the rest of the population. And the differentiation is being created there because of legal precedent, usually lawsuits mm-hmm. because somebody said something. But it's creating something else, too. It's creating a certain militancy in certain sectors of the Christian faith. And they tend to be more militant. They tend to be more in your face. They're going to stand up for their right to have free speech. They're going to be out there and push.
Yes.
Now, you talked about the child witnessing. Would the child wearing Love Jesus t-shirts to school be what you're suggesting? Or
I'm really suggesting being a friend, being patient. I had a student in the seventh grade who was so obnoxious, and he carried his Bible wherever he went, but he was not kind. He was not long-suffering. He was not gentle or meek at all. Finally, I took him aside and I said, you know, I know you think that carrying this Bible is a witness for your God, but your actions are speaking so much louder than this Bible that you're actually being a negative witness. And, you know, we really had that heart-to-heart conversation. I didn't have to talk about God. He got the message loud and clear. He actually started crying. He did not realize that by being so mean and criticizing and fault-finding, every single student around him was totally counteracting his faithfulness in carrying his Bible to class.
Yeah, poor student. So this is some of the things that parents can begin to do. Now, I would say, from my perspective, one of the first things a parent must do is be engaged with their child.
Absolutely. That child is going to need unconditional love and support because they're going to be spending 7 hours in essentially a hostile environment. Now, by hostile, I don't mean that the teachers are necessarily hostile, but you are putting that child into a secular environment where the agenda is more progressive, it is anti-Christ, it's evolutionistic, and it has gender issues as well, that your child is going to feel uncomfortable.
And as a parent, if you're not engaged with them, you know, you should be starting really, really young, but you need to be engaged with them and not in a judgmental way. You know, some children will reflect their parents.
They will. And if you bullied and you were overbearing, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, we're really helping our children learn to toe the mark and to be good children, but we're actually overbearing and we're actually fault finding with them. And so they're going to go into a situation, they're going to be vulnerable to the same type of behavior when they get into school.
I can remember the first time I was invited to a kegger party. Well, I had no idea what a kegger was. Of course, I didn't go to the party either because I didn't think I wanted to find out what a kegger was. But that was where they would buy a big keg of beer and everybody would get drunk. And this was something new to me because I had been in Christian schools before, but I knew I didn't want to have any part of it. And it wasn't because I felt like I was a goody two-shoes or anything, but I had come to the point, thankfully, in large part to my parents and discussions that we had had, that I did not want to lose the use of my faculties in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't a religious choice that I made not to drink or smoke or do drugs, but much more of a choice that was based on practical realities of where I didn't want to go. And I think that's the kind of conversation that parents need to have, is to help young people know that there are places they don't want to go and help those young people know internally that they don't want to go there.
Yes.
So that when they meet this in there, they're able to know how to address it. They're not going to be saying, well, I don't do those kinds of things. But they're going to learn how to say, no, I'm not. That's not me. Or they're going to learn how to go into some of those situations and come out unscathed.
Yes.
Because it is part of community that you really are talking about here.
I know my daughter teaches in public school, and there are a group of teachers that meet every morning and pray for their students. And I also had that same experience when I taught in public school. There is a very conscientious group of teachers that are praying for their students. And they will be praying for your child as well. But your child is the only one that has a voice. Those prayers that those teachers pray and the prayers that you pray are what will fortify and give your child the wisdom that they will need to navigate. It will be challenging. It's just the nature of the beast. And that being said, we need to, in our homeschooling situation, in our small school situation, we need to also be fortifying our students, because sooner or later, they will be in challenging situations.
And they do come up with challenging situations. I don't know if they do the kind of things that they did back then, but, you know, there was the swirly. I was in high school, so there was the swirly. Now, a swirly was where you took someone, tipped them upside down, stuck their head in the toilet, and flushed it. So that was the swirly.
Yes, and that sounds horrible.
It is horrible, but it's part of the reality that a young person can face. And a lot of times the people who face that are people who are seen as being different.
Yes, and how should, well, I know we just about have to take a break here, but when we come back, let's talk about how should your child react in that kind of situation? How do they react if that happens to them? How do you as a parent react if that happens to your child? We'll be right back. You've been listening to Education Currents. Be sure to like us on our Education Currents Facebook page and consider joining MRG Media in this radio ministry. You can call us anytime at 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783.
It was a stormy early spring day, April 16th, 1850. 478 French soldiers came marching towards Agen, France, lockstep. When they reached the middle of the Agen Bridge, the bridge began to twist back and forth, dislodging an anchoring cable from its concrete moorings. The entire bridge plunged into the cold river below. 226 soldiers died. Engineers later reported it wasn't due to the thunderstorms, but to the lockstep marching of the soldiers. Hello, I'm Paul Tooley. I'd like to share an education moment with you. We like to talk a lot about differentiation in education these days, but the truth is, students are all measured by the same benchmarks and exams. Like the bridge at Agen, France, sometimes this causes twisting and collapse, leaving students in the icy rivers of ignorance. It's a true pity that we can't have differentiated outcomes as well as differentiated teaching.
This Education Moment has been brought to you by EducationCurrents.com. That's EducationCurrents.com.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and with me is Dr. Richard Tooley, and we're just discussing how to help our child if they have to go to public school. And before the break, Dr. Tooley, you described a swirly. There's a helmet, too, which is even worse. But so your child has had their head dipped in the toilet at school. How, as a parent, are you going to react? And how should your child react?
And that is a very delicate situation. For example, an awful lot of times, if you go, and especially in the era that we're living in now with young people, if you go to the school and you tell them that this is what happened, that's typically good across normal power lines. But in the underculture of the school, among the students, the parent who goes and does that is really condemning their student to a pretty hard time because the school doesn't have the wherewithal to police every situation.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be retribution coming from the students who were tagged because of that.
Yeah, so we're in this culture where we told our children not to be tattletales, and now we're telling them, well, this is really a criminal act if someone puts your head in the toilet. That's a criminal act. You're exposing that child to all kinds of germs. It's demeaning. It's definitely an assault. And so you as the parent, you know, you can go, well, turn the other cheek. Johnny, just turn the other cheek.
Yeah, I think if your child is actually going to be subjected with some regularity to that kind of treatment, you really might want to consider pulling them from that school and putting them in a different environment. This will happen to some kids. Some kids are going to laugh it off and it won't ever happen again because they know how to gain the respect of their peers. And that's really one of the things that a child needs to learn how to do, is how to gain the respect of their peers. And that will come in our current culture, appears to come especially with being able to respect your peers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have someone who's a fragile little person and they're getting bullied by the bigger kids, you really should take a serious look at moving them out.
Yes.
But if it's someone where something like this happens, and it happens once, and they can laugh it off, and they move on, and a lot of times a kid will be very, very honest. Well, I had it coming to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say that. As a parent, our reaction a lot of times, too, is going to set how our child views what happened to them. So if we get all, oh dear, that's terrible, it can't happen, it's bad, sometimes that translates to the child as, I must be bad because I allowed it to happen to me.
Yeah.
And so we want to react appropriately. We need to be able to say, you know, that shouldn't happen to you. Tell me more.
Yes.
Let's dialogue some.
It's one thing if your child comes home and says, oh, so-and-so elbowed me as we walked down the hall. That's one thing. But having your head dipped in the toilet, you know, every family will have a line that they do not want crossed. And everyone should have it. It's called creating your own personal boundaries. And so in one instant, yeah, you can elbow them back kind of thing. But you're not going to tell them, well, stick their head in the toilet.
No.
So you can make yourself a little criteria of where you draw the line.
You know, I don't think that a bunch of kids go, well, let's go give someone a swirly today, and randomly pick people to do that. Usually something is setting up the events that are going to lead to something like that. And that's where constant dialogue with your child is going to help you see or hear what's going on, and how that child is handling themselves in the school is going to make a big difference.
Right. If they're afraid, they're more vulnerable. If they're willing to yell, help, help, and, you know, they might get some help. If they just meekly internalize it, if they don't understand what personal boundaries are and how to establish them, all those conversations need to be done before the child starts school.
And there's also dynamics within a large school. You have different communities. There's multiple communities mm-hmm. in a large school. You need to help your child recognize which communities to avoid and which communities to become a part of. And that's very important. If the child can begin to recognize a hostile community, then they need to find ways to not be seen by that community, to not get into the limelight of that community. If it's a hostile one that doesn't fit their paradigm and fit where they are, they need to find a way out of that one.
Yes, and so many times I've seen children dog the community that is actually picking on them. And I will say, why do you keep going over there? Why do you keep going and hanging out with them if you don't like what they're doing or what they're saying? I don't know.
It's like the fly in the candle syndrome.
Yes, and, you know, that would be an interesting study in itself. So basically what we're saying is have frank conversations with your children prior to going to school. Let them know that the way they conduct themselves, how they treat their other classmates, is the biggest witness of all. You can wear T-shirts and carry your Bible, but it's how you treat your classmates that's the biggest witness. And then continue to have conversations every single day. How did it go today? Because just a little bit of conversation goes a long way. You can steer them. Especially in their social dynamics, if the child goes, well, no one talked to me today. Everyone ignored me. Well, that gives you a clue to help that child go, remember, in order to have friends, you have to be a friend. Did you talk to anybody today? And so all along you need to be conversating and praying and knowing that there are other teachers praying for your student, and that your student can at any point pray during that school day, Lord, give me wisdom. Help me to know how to navigate this.
Yes, teach your child to not be afraid to be part of the community. You know, they need to be willing to be part of the community. They cannot create a me versus them. There are good Christians in public school, and it's good if you're connecting with them. But be careful. You don't want your young people connecting to the Bible thumping, and I'll probably get criticized for this, but the Bible thumping group that is going to make this statement about Jesus no matter who it offends. And I'm not a politically correct type of person, but I don't like my face being rubbed in evolutionism, and I don't want to rub their faces in my Christianity.
Yeah.
There's better ways of witnessing, and if you look at Jesus' examples, his primary example was always take care of the physical needs first.
Mm-hmm.
Be a friend first. Be in the community first. People will ask you questions. Let the Holy Spirit lead the people you're to witness to. Let the Holy Spirit lead them to you.
Yes, it brings to mind one other girl that I had in that same class with the boy who found fault with all his classmates, but yet carried the Bible around with him. She also was very well-loved, popular, and one day she came and she had a cross in some grayish, I thought was dirty chalk dust on her forehead. And I said, what's that on your forehead? And I guess it was Lenten or something.
Yeah, during Lent.
During Lent. And I thought, you know, I should have guessed that she was a Christian by how nice she treated all of her fellow classmates and how dearly loved she just was by everyone. I should have guessed because her walk, she walked the talk. And I hadn't ever had a chance to talk to her about it until I saw this chalk cross on her forehead. And then she was happy to witness to me then about what it stood for. And I thought that is an example of someone who is navigating in the public arena and leading a light for Jesus.
Yes, and when you think about it, I want to go back to where we had started, because really where it starts is between the parent and the child first.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot stress that the importance of being connected to your child, being connected to the point where your child trusts you,
mm-hmm.
being connected to the point where you as a parent can read your child's moods and know exactly where they are. Because, you know, if you asked a child to describe their parents, they're going to give you a cursory description.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask a parent to describe their child, they can give you usually a description in intimate detail.
Yes.
Children don't know their parents the same way parents know their children. But if you really want to help your child a lot, you're going to be engaged with them. You're going to be talking with them years before this happens. You're going to, after all, if you didn't want children, good, don't get them. But if you want children, be engaged with
yes,
them.
Yes, yes. Well, we've come to the end of the show, and I thank you so much. I hope this gives a lot of courage to parents who are facing the fact that their children have to go to public school this year, that God will be with them wherever they go, and they might just be there for some student that needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. With that, we have one last thing to say, and that is keep learning.
You have been listening to Education Current, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.